This is VSiN Primetime, betting the draft. Now here's your hosts, Tim Murray and Matt Eumanns.
Here we go, folks. The Dallas Mavericks on the clock. Matt, who are they going to pick?
I have no idea, Tim. So that's what makes this NBA draft so intriguing. You have no idea who the first round pick is going to be tonight.
So unpredictable. It'll be Cooper Flagg. He will be the number one overall pick. And Dylan Harper, from all indications, will be the number two pick. VJ Edgecombe, as of now, based off of the betting odds, would be the number three pick. But we'll see. Do we see some sort of curveball, Matt, get thrown our way? I think we will. I don't know what it will be. Is it the Brooklyn Nets trading up? Is it another team? Is it the Philadelphia 76ers trading out? We'll see how it all plays out. But, Matt, we are about to get things underway, and we've got a lot of over-unders to keep tabs on, a lot of things shifted. I did write down all of the over-unders as of about 10 minutes ago at DraftKings. We'll see how those all ultimately play out. But before we get into that, obviously, betting odds have moved, but it is worth noting what we have in pocket. You gave out a couple plays yesterday when you were on with Mitch on Follow the Money. I gave out a couple plays last night when I was on Primetime with Will Hill. So let's get to your two plays. I've got a couple plays as well that we will keep our eyes on as the evening goes on.
I played Ryan Kalkbrenner, the 7-1 center from Creighton, to be a first-round pick at minus 115. I think it's a good sign, hopefully, that right now the DraftKings live, the DraftKings market is showing Kalkbrenner to be a first-round pick at minus 185. This is actually a bet I made on Tuesday a couple days ago. And when you look at Kalkbrenner, this guy's 7-1 with a 7'6 wingspan, had 2.7 blocks per game, shoots to three, at least last season for Creighton, at 34.4%. And, Tim, you have to look in the 20s. Who is the team? Which team might be most likely to draft someone like Kalkbrenner? I think Brooklyn, which has five first-round picks, could fit the bill. How about the Boston Celtics?
Pick 28.
Number 28. Celtics have a total rebuild going on here. We'll see if they trade Jaylen Brown or Derek White or what's going to happen. It looks like Brad Stevens doing a total rebuild of the Boston
Sam
roster.
Sam Hauser could be on the move.
Yeah, a lot of guys could be on the move. And I think Kalkbrenner would be a great fit for the Celtics. The Suns at number 29. They need depth. Clippers at number 30. A lot of potential landing spots for a guy like Ryan Kalkbrenner from Creighton near the end of the first round. I also played Liam McNeely from UConn, under 21.5. 6'7", 6'8", a guy who can shoot the three, 32% from three this season. Not great, but he also battled ankle injuries part of the season. But Tim, only 1 year in college. I think he's got, you're going to hear this a lot. It's annoying, but he's got a really high upside because he's so young. I think that appeals to a lot of NBA teams too, just 1 year in college. If he had stayed at UConn, I think potentially down the road, he could have been a player of the year type of guy. And the thing that put me over the top with this bet, I was recently rewatching some of the Florida Gators games in the NCAA tournament, and McNeely was really good against Florida. He had 22 points in that two-point loss, at 77-75 game. And if you watched Liam McNeely, who was finally healthy on the ankles in the NCAA tournament against elite competition, put up 22 points, I think his stock rose because of that performance. So I bet him under 21.5 means the first 21 picks, and Kalkbrenner to go in the first round. Those are the only two bets I made here. I would like to bet Trey Johnson, the shooting guard from Texas, to go in the top five. But, man, it seems like it's a close call whether or not he's going to go four, five, six. So I did not make that play.
All right. A couple of plays that we discussed last night on the show that I was able to grab. Thomas Sorber. This one moved, fortunately, in my direction. So hopefully it is the case here. I laid $1.35 under 17.5. As this thing goes off, it'll go off at 16.5, Matt. Mm-hmm. The center out of Georgetown. A lot of mock drafts have him going 17 to the Minnesota Timberwolves, maybe even a little bit higher. We talked a lot about this particular play last night. I didn't get the best of the number is Jeremiah Fears. You know, while we were on the air, Luke Swain, who does a great job of covering the draft, betting the draft, getting good information, just scouring everything, said he liked under 6.5, Matt. As he was on the air, it moved 25 cents to the under, and then more steam came in, and right now Jeremiah Fears, the point guard out of Oklahoma, is now minus 175 to be a top five pick. So hopefully that one, we got some closing line value. Noah Essen-Guy, this one is interesting. We talked about it. I know Zachary Cohen wrote it up for the website as well, and Zach will be on the show a little bit later. A lot of movement and steam for him to be the 9th overall pick with the Toronto Raptors. So I bet him at 3-1 to be the number 9 pick, and also at minus 115 to be a top 10 pick. And then last one, Matt, a little flyer here. Walter Clayton to be the 20th overall pick. Why? Because the Miami Heat own the 20th pick, and the reporting earlier this week was that he had two workouts with the Miami Heat, and then he shut it down. So is it a situation where he got a draft day promise that at 20, we're going to take you? At the current price, it was like plus 140. Once again, this was more of a flyer, Matt. A lot of mock drafts have him going number 20 to the Miami Heat. Is it too much groupthink? We'll see how it ultimately plays out. So those are the five plays that I did make. I'll just say this, full disclosure, and I imagine you're similar.
Mm-hmm.
This is nowhere near the amount of money that I put down on the NFL draft.
Well, you bet millions on the NFL draft.
I did, yeah. This is just hundreds of thousands, you know.
You know, the Walter Clayton bet you made here is interesting to me because you're trying to, you know, pick the spot on the roulette wheel where Clayton's going to go, and it's you got number 20, but you have reporting that says Miami Heat are obviously interested in him, and the Heat picked 20th. I really think the Oklahoma City Thunder at number 15 have to be giving Walter Clayton a serious look. The Thunder have picks number 15 and 24, and you think about the three-point shooting that's needed for the NBA champs. If they have a weakness, it's going to be shooting. I don't think they're going to move up and get Con Knipple. I doubt they're going to move up and get Trey Johnson. Walter Clayton would be a really good fit at 15. And Tim, all the teams picking below Miami at number 20 know that if they want Walter Clayton, they've got to move ahead of that 20 spot to get him, right? So did you also consider betting Walter Clayton to be a top 20 pick?
I did. The price was just a little too expensive for me, so I was late to the game. There was some really good prices out there for Walter Clayton to be a top 20 pick. And I'll be honest here. You know, I like to try to keep it as transparent as possible. I was hoping for a better number on Walter Clayton. I was hoping for 3-1, 4-1, and I grabbed plus 180. So not the best number, certainly, that was out there. All right, quick update on where we sit. Got 3 minutes until the match. Mavericks will walk up there and they'll take Cooper Flagg, Matt. I want to keep eyes on the exact pick market. So Con Knipple right now is minus 550 to be the 4th overall pick. That pick currently occupied by the Charlotte Hornets. The number 5 pick is Jeremiah Fears. He's the odds-on favorite at minus 175. The 5th overall pick, once again, is owned currently by the Utah Jazz. Ace Bailey has moved to a minus 175 favorite to be the 6th overall pick. There's been a lot of movement this way. Kristen Peek from Yahoo Sports earlier today reported that there was a secret workout with Ace Bailey with the Washington Wizards. And then as the odds just went off the board, as we talked to Johnny, and he said this would probably happen, the number 7 pick, as I just looked at it, had moved to minus 110 for Derek Queen to be the 7th selection in the draft. So keep that in mind as this draft goes on. We'll see if Maryland's center, Derek Queen, is the selection for the New Orleans Pelicans. Once again, the Pelicans director of president of basketball operations, Troy Weaver, a lot of connections to Derek Queen. And there was a report earlier today that there was a lot of interest there. So we're about to get underway. The odds are all down off the board now, Matt. And here we go. The NBA draft is about to begin. Cooper Flagg is about to be a member of the Dallas Mavericks. And I'll tell you what, Matt, when you think to the Vegas Summer League, which will get underway in a couple weeks, boy, that first game with the Dallas Mavericks and Cooper Flagg is going to be pretty highly anticipated at Thomas and Mack.
Yeah, it will be, but it's always a letdown now, too, because the number one pick or the top picks, these guys play, what, one game and then pack it in for the Summer League?
Usually,
and,
yeah.
You don't get to see them much. It's more hype than anything. The top players in the draft used to play more throughout the summer in Vegas. Now they don't play much at all. You know, it's... This reminds me, this draft tonight is in Brooklyn at the Barclays Center. And the last time I went to the NBA draft, I covered it in person, was in 2013. Tim, really, at that time, there was no betting on the NBA draft. There were no markets up. Even offshore, there wasn't much in terms of the NBA draft. That would have been a wild draft to bet. So I covered UNLV basketball at the time and went to Brooklyn because Anthony Bennett from UNLV was expected to be a top 10 pick. And I talked to his agent, knew his agent pretty well, talked to him about 5 minutes before the draft started. And I said, where do you think Anthony's going to go? Do you know for sure? I have no idea.
Five minutes before the draft.
No idea. He goes, he could go number one. He could go number, slip to number seven or eight. We don't know. We don't know right now where he's going to go. He goes, I'm afraid he's going to slip. And nobody, all the reporters there, nobody thought Anthony Bennett was going number one. I went back in the hospitality room, grabbed a sandwich, and went out and sat down in front of my computer and just waited. Said, well, it could be about a half hour or who knows how long until Anthony Bennett gets picked. So I sit down and start to eat the ham sandwich or whatever it is. And, you know, commissioner walks up and says, with the number one pick, the Cleveland Cavaliers select Anthony Bennett from UNLV. So I didn't get to eat lunch or dinner, whatever it was at the time. I had to put the sandwich down at work. And everybody was stunned that Bennett was the number one overall pick. Turned out Mike Brown, the Cavaliers coach at the time, loved Bennett, thought he had a huge upside. And he was the reason the Cavs took Bennett, who turned out to be a bust, as the number one overall pick. But think about it. If there was betting on that draft, how crazy those markets would have been, because nobody expected that top pick. Tonight, you pretty much know who the seven or eight or nine guys in the top 10 are going to be. There's not going to be many surprises. Maybe where a guy gets drafted. But, Tim, we have a pretty good idea who the top 10 players are going to be in this draft.
Well, you think back to 2022, the movement in the betting market all day long. Was it going to be Paolo Banchero? Was it going to be Jabari Smith? Ultimately, it was Paolo. It was the bettors versus Woj, if I remember that particular night.
Who got it right?
The bettors did.
Oh, so Woj is not batting 100%.
He is not. Not 100%.
How about that Dan Hurley Lakers story?
The number one pick is in. It's going to be Cooper Flagg. Want to know where the money is really going, folks? We've got our betting splits over at vsin.com. They come directly from the source, DraftKings, as well as Circa. Cooper Flagg headed to Dallas.
You're tuned in to VSiN Primetime, betting the draft, right here on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Cooper Flagg is a Dallas Maverick. Surprise, surprise, minus 20,000 was the final number in the betting market, Matt. And if you had 20 grand to throw down, congratulations on 100 bucks, because Cooper Flagg, he is indeed headed to the Dallas Mavericks, as the Mavericks will have one of the biggest prospects we've seen in quite some time, Matt. Maybe one of the biggest college prospects we've seen in 20-some-odd years when you think about LeBron and Victor Wembanyama both coming from either high school or the international ranks.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, it's I don't want to be hyperbolic about it, because Zion Williamson was a huge prospect. There's been a lot of major prospects. Cooper Flagg, obviously, in that group. There's been a bunch of guys really hyped. You remember how big Zion was when he came out? It's easy to forget that now, because he looks like a bust. But at the time, there was a lot of hype about Zion Williamson. He hasn't really panned out. Cooper Flagg, I think, here's what, to me, the only question to be answered between the end of the college basketball season and now was, or let's say the NBA draft lottery to now, Tim, would the Mavericks be tempted to trade that top pick for a guy like Giannis Antetokounmpo, trade Cooper Flagg? Mitch Moss asked me a question a couple days ago, and I said, no way, you don't trade Cooper Flagg. First of all, you just traded the face of your franchise.
I can't believe they got rewarded.
You can't trade Luka Doncic and Cooper Flagg in the same 5-month period and get away with it. That's would be two idiotic moves. The second thing is, you got Flagg in a rookie contract for the next 4 or 5 years, and you're going to have to pay $50, $60 million for the freak if you want to make a deal for him. I would not trade it. You have to keep the Flagg pick, and obviously the Mavericks did that. Tim, could you imagine the criticism that the Dallas organization might have faced if you trade Doncic and you trade Flagg?
Yeah, it would have been unprecedented and hard to believe that the Dallas Mavericks, with, I believe, like a 1% chance to get the number one pick, ultimately got him. And now the pick is in for the San Antonio Spurs. And once again, the expectation is for the San Antonio Spurs to go and grab Dylan Harper. So that'll be the case here. And then after that, Matt, once again, the expectation is Philly to go with VJ Edgecombe, but that could be where things get interesting. And maybe our next guest could give us a little little more analysis on that. It's Matt Babcock. You could follow him on social media at Matt Babcock 11, NFL draft analyst. And Matt, as we look ahead to number three, number four, and number five, it seems like that's where things could ultimately get interesting. As we are now underway, what have you heard about 3, 4, and 5? Is it going to be Edgecombe, Knipple, and then Fears from everything that you've heard?
You know, there are so many rumors flying right now, and there always is. This year feels very extra, and you're absolutely right. It starts at 3. On my final mock draft, I put VJ Edgecombe, but I don't think that's written in stone. I mean, I think myself and everybody in the NBA, with all these picks, I think there's potential for a lot of movement.
Matt, where do you think Trey Johnson goes? Where do you think Colin Knipple goes here? And how about Ace Bailey? How far is he going to fall?
Well, let's start with Ace Bailey. He's a big part of why there's so much uncertainty in this range. There's a number of teams looking to move up to get him. And I think those conversations probably start at 3 and 4. And so if Ace were to go 3 or 4, it kind of changes sort of the ripple effect and domino effect of the entire draft. But as of right now, I've got Colin Knipple at 4, but they easily could trade back and get him. And one of these teams that won Ace, could get him at 4. So we'll see. It's looking to be a pretty dramatic night.
Tim, as someone, did you bet the Colin Knipple prop?
I did not.
I know there's some guys at VSEN who bet Colin Knipple to go top 5. Got to be a little uneasy with that right now with the changes that could take place here. Do you like Dylan Harper to the Spurs at number 2? Did you think that was the fit all along?
You know, a fit wouldn't be the right way of putting it. I think, you know, the second best prospect in the draft, and I think that's how San Antonio is looking at it. You know, they're a little guard heavy with De'Aaron Fox and Stephon Castle, but I mean, you're getting young talent in the building as they're, you know, rebuilding their roster. So I mean, I think it's the right pick, and we'll see how that roster shakes out here the next couple of years.
NBA draft analyst, excuse me, Matt Babcock joining us here as it is official. Dylan Harper headed to the San Antonio Spurs. And now this is where things could get interesting, right? Does Brooklyn get aggressive utilizing those 5 picks to potentially move up, or does it say status quo? So looking at your mock draft, you did have Trey Johnson dropping to number 8, and that it seemed to be the way things were moving leading up to the draft. But just as a prospect, both Matt and I, big college hoop fans, we both love Trey Johnson. Why do you think he's fallen a little bit in the eyes of at least the reporting that was out there prior to today's draft starting?
You know, I don't think there was anything with the evaluation that necessarily made him slip. I think it's just sort of, you know, the circumstances with the teams and, you know, different prospects of how they're building out their rosters. I think he's very well thought of. I mean, he's, as you guys know, as college basketball fans, just a terrific shooter, scorer. And I think his game translates to the NBA very well. I was really debating on whether to put him at number 5 to Utah or not. It sounded like that those were the two guys they were considering most heavily. But again, the uncertainty with Ace Bailey, it's really been impossible to project these picks this year.
Matt Babcock joining us here, giving us his analysis. Once again, the 76ers now on the clock, so we will see if it is indeed VJ Edgecombe to be the selection here. Matt, when you look elsewhere around, you know, the number 9 pick, when you look at the betting market, it was kind of interesting to see it kind of fluctuate all over the place. There seemed to be a lot of push for Noah Essengai to be the selection there for Toronto. What do you make of what Toronto could potentially do there with the 9th overall pick?
You know, similar type story, as I mentioned before, a lot of conversations about moving around, and Toronto has been one of the main picks talking about trading back. And I did hear a rumor that Oklahoma City is looking to move up, trying to figure out which team that was with. I'm guessing either Toronto or Phoenix. But the common theme this year is a lot of uncertainty and probably a lot of trades.
Yeah, the Nets have 5 picks in the first round. Thunder have 2 in the first round. You would think there's going to be some trades, right? You have no space on your roster for 5 first-round picks, or even the Thunder with a couple of first-round picks. I would ask you, now, when you project the first round, what would you do if you're Sam Presti running the Thunder here? You need shooting. You've got the 15 and 24 picks. Do you like Walter Clayton, the shooting guard from Florida, or do you like another prospect for the Thunder?
Yeah, for the Thunder, I think they're likely to target a big man. I think the main thing is with Hardenstein's contract long term, I don't know if they'll be able to afford to keep him. So I would expect them to go with a big guy. I put Thomas Sorber there, but keep in mind, I did hear a pretty strong rumor that they're looking to move up from 15. So I'm assuming it's 9 or 10, but we'll see.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if it is for someone like Derek Queen, who was getting a lot of buzz to New Orleans. You have Malawak from Duke mocked there. So, Matt, as we wait for Philadelphia to make the pick here in just a moment, as you evaluated these players, that's where it gets interesting, right? They're all going to come out to Vegas here in a couple of weeks to participate in Summer League. Who are a couple of the guys, you know, in the in the teens, maybe in the 20s, that you think could be some immediate impact players based off of your evaluations?
You know, one guy that I think is probably somewhat of a sleeper from a public standpoint is Yohan Berenguer, a young player from France that played in Slovenia this year. I think he has a chance to be a very good player, measured very well, 6'11 without shoes, and if I remember correctly, like a 7'4 wingspan, very mobile, very athletic, and plays extremely hard. Sort of reminds me from an upside standpoint, kind of like a young Joakim Noah. And so I'm expecting him to go somewhere probably in like the 12 to 15 range.
Yeah, that'll be fascinating to see how it ultimately plays out. Hey, Matt, really a great stuff. Appreciate the insight, and we look forward to reading your recap of the draft.
Hey, thanks, guys.
There he is, Matt Babcock, NBA draft analyst, BabcockHoops.com. The pick is in right now for the Philadelphia 76ers, so we are waiting to see if it will indeed be VJ Edgecombe. It seemed like the betting market, if they stuck around and utilized this pick, Matt, would be VJ Edgecombe out of Baylor to be the selection.
I don't know. I don't have much faith in the Sixers to do the right thing. This organization has been a circus for the last several years. The Paul George acquisition was a bad move, and Sixers need an impact player here. They got to, when you look at the Eastern Conference next season, Tim, with the Jason Tatum injury, Tyrese Halliburton injury, all the things, all the teams that have a shot to win the East, the Sixers are right there. In fact, in the betting market, I think you could grab the Sixers right around 40-1, maybe, at some spots. If they do the right thing here in the draft, the Sixers could put themselves in position where they could contend to win the East next season. I just don't know if they're going to do the right thing. I think the temptation is going to be great here for the Sixers to take a player like Ace Bailey.
Well, Adam Silver stepping to the podium here. We'll see if we get the pick before we head to the break, as Adam Silver right now announcing the selection for the Philadelphia 76ers. The third pick is in, and it is VJ Edgecombe, guard out of Baylor, chalk holding so far in the NBA draft.
You're tuned in to VSiN Primetime, betting the draft, right here on VSiN, the sports betting network.
All right, Matt Humans, this is where things could get interesting. Chalk is held. No surprise to the first three picks, Matt. Number one pick, Cooper Flagg, goes to the Dallas Mavericks, close minus 20,000. Number two pick, Dylan Harper, goes to the San Antonio Spurs, close minus 8,000. And VJ Edgecombe, guard out of Baylor, is a selection for the Philadelphia 76ers, closed around minus 900. And now the Charlotte Hornets, based off of the betting odds, it would be Con Knipple. Will they go that route? Could we see a team like the Brooklyn Nets potentially trade up here? We will see. No indications of any trading yet so far. Cooper Flagg 1, Dylan Harper 2, VJ Edgecombe 3.
Well, I know our colleague Will Hill, who co-hosts this show with us during the week, he's got Con Knipple to be a top five pick, I think under 5.5. So he's really pulling for the Hornets to pick the former Duke star right here. Yes, just organizations like the Hornets, who stink for years and years and years. It's amazing how they can make the wrong moves, all the wrong moves in the draft, or just constantly be picking in the top 10. The Wizards, your team, Tim, your favorite team, the Wizards.
Most irrelevant franchise in sports.
One of the most.
One of the most.
No doubt about it. Hornets, Wizards. I mean, think about if you're drafted by a team like this, how depressed you would be. Oh, God, I have to play for the Hornets. had to play for the Wizards. You know you're not going to win.
Well, Con Knipple, the pride of Milwaukee, Wisconsin, played his college hoops in Durham, North Carolina. And according to reports on social media, Matt, he will be a member of the Charlotte Hornets.
Okay.
That is being the reports out there. Jeff Goodman has that one. So it looks like chalk continues to hold. And now, all right, we said, well, things maybe get interesting at three. -$9. The steam was accurate. VJ Edgecombe. Adam Silver has not come out yet. The pick is in. It's being reported. It will be Con Knipple, who closed -550. And now, does Utah go with Jeremiah Fierce? That was the big push last night into today, that Utah would go with Fierce at number five. But, Matt, the question we still have, if it is indeed going to be Con Knipple, as being reported, with the fourth overall pick, Ace Bailey still on the board. Mm-hmm. Does Brooklyn look to jump Washington, who has been a projected landing spot for the former Rutgers star, Ace Bailey?
I would say so. When Brooklyn has five first-round picks, Tim, mm-hmm. you can't be hesitant to jump. If you like a player, you have to make the move. I remember JVT and I were doing an NBA draft show a few years ago, and I kept saying Danny Ainge with all those picks in his pocket, you've got to trade up for Tyler Hero. And instead, Danny Ainge sat back, did not trade the picks, and he took that shooting guard from Indiana who barely played for the Celtics and couldn't make a jumper outside 15.
He was that big recruit, right? Oh, I can't remember his.
Ballyhooed recruit by the Hoosiers who couldn't hit a jumper outside 15 feet. And he was a free throw merchant. He would drive to the rim or he'd get all his points off free throws and drives. And Danny Ainge took him instead of trading up for moving up a couple spots for Tyler Hero. And I thought, man, I said on the show that that's a huge mistake. You have all these picks. Move up for a shooter. And he didn't do it. Turns out the Celtics are still the most prolific three-point shooting team in the league. They have plenty of shooters, but that was not one of them. It's official. Adam Silver, the alien, announces it. Con Knipple to Duke at number four.
To Charlotte.
To Charlotte at number four, the former Duke star. So Duke's got two of the top four picks and could not close out a Final Four game with a 7-point lead in the final 2 minutes.
Feels like you're still not over that one.
Bitter. A lot of Duke futures at 12-1 went down the drain with that loss to Houston, which never should have happened. You got to wonder, Duke's going to have three of the top 10 picks here. This happened a couple times with Coach K, where you have three of the top 10 picks and you couldn't win a national championship.
You felt like it was going to happen. They were up double digits against Houston. And I had Houston plus the points. Never thought that we would even get that home, and they won the game outright.
Yeah.
But Con Knipple, 40% three-point shooter, Matt, in his lone year at Duke, comes in at 6'5", 219 pounds, and he now heads not too far from where he went to college. He goes about a couple of hours to the south, down to Charlotte, and you've got LaMelo Ball, you've got Ingram, and now Con Knipple on that Charlotte Hornets squad.
I think Hornets fans will like this pick because he's a Duke player, right? They're familiar with him, and he can shoot the three, so I think they'll like the pick. Do you love the pick, Tim?
I do. I like the pick. I think, you know, in this day and age, an elite shooter. And I'll say this about Con Knipple. If he didn't have Cooper Flagg as a teammate, would his numbers have been that much better? Because you think about when Cooper Flagg got hurt against Georgia Tech in what was that, the quarterfinals of the ACC tournament, Knipple stepped up and led him to an ACC championship. I know the ACC was down this year, but still, you lose the number one overall pick, you might be, you know, lost, and Knipple stepped up, rose to the occasion. I think Knipple should be a solid pro, and I think this is a very good pick here by the Charlotte Hornets at number four.
Staggering, too, when you think about it. Did you read the reports of how much money Cooper Flagg reportedly made in his 1 year at Duke?
Like $10 million?
More than double that. You don't tell me there's some money behind Duke basketball.
A little bit.
And there has been for a long time. For all of you who think that's the cleanest program in college hoops, you're sadly mistaken.
Yeah. Zion Williamson, his mom magically got a house down there in Durham.
Magically got a house.
Yeah, magically. Let's update you where we are. Four picks
in. He was committed to Clemson, by the way.
Yeah.
Remember that? Zion was committed to Clemson, mysteriously changed his commitment to Duke. Wonder why.
Here we go. Four picks in. The Utah Jazz are on the clock. And is this when things get interesting? Or does chalk continue to hold? Cooper Flagg goes one to Dallas. Dylan Harper goes two to San Antonio. VJ Edgecombe, who opened plus 140 at DraftKings to be the third overall pick, he lands with the Philadelphia 76ers. Steam was right. And the steam was right on Con Knipple to Charlotte. Close around minus 550. Matt, if you do mock drafts, you should be 4 for 4. Everything was indicating this was the way it would go. Mm-hmm. At number 5, that's where it could get fascinating. Is it going to be Jeremiah Fears, the point guard out of Oklahoma? There was a belief in reports from Jonathan Givony that Danny Ainge's son, who is now running things there in Utah, had a lot of interest in Fears, and we saw the betting market move this way. Last night, plus 250 for Jeremiah Fears to be the number one pick, or excuse me, the number five pick. It closed minus 175, and I think the only thing that is curious about this, Matt, is once again, we keep bringing it up. What happens with Ace Bailey? Is he just going to go 6 to Washington, which is apparently where he wanted to go, or is a team like Brooklyn going to get aggressive and jump up and get this fifth pick?
That's a great question, Tim. And you hit the headline right on the money. So far, the betting market has nailed the top four picks in this NFL NBA draft. We keep saying NFL. It's NBA. Betting market's nailed this. If you have followed it, the top four picks in order, the market's been right in all four. Now things could get a little bit interesting. I would say that if you covet Ace Bailey, you better trade up to number 5. And also the Jazz, I don't think they love a player here at number 5. They wouldn't mind moving down because the Jazz don't want Ace Bailey.
I hope they love Jeremiah Fears, because that would mean a winning bet for your boy here. Is one of the bets that I do have is Jeremiah Fears to be a top 5 pick. And last night on the show, Luke Swain gave out under 6.5 for Jeremiah Fears. We also heard from Rob Doster. He liked him to go top 5 at plus 250. So hopefully for the sake of this show, it is Jeremiah Fears, but they're still on the clock. Hey, folks, take your betting to the next level with FirstBet. Sign up now at FirstBet.com. That's the number one, STBet.com. And use the promo code VSIN200 to score a 20% rebate on all your wagers for the first 60 days, up to $200. Don't miss out. Bet smarter today at FirstBet.com. All right, Matt, the pick is in. Who is it going to be? And we are going to get our first curveball of the draft as all reports out there are that it will be indeed Ace Bailey going to the Utah Jazz.
You wonder if this is going to be a trade too, Tim. It might be that the Jazz draft Bailey and it turns out there's going to be a trade announced at some point. It didn't seem like pre-draft that the Jazz were hot on Ace Bailey, right?
No, they did not work him out. He did not work out for them. So this is where the steam stops, as Jeremiah Fears was projected based off of the betting market to be the fifth overall pick. And according to reports on social media, they, the Utah Jazz, as of now, and we'll see if they keep it, are selecting Ace Bailey. So,
by the way, the Jazz had the worst record in the NBA, and this is a crushing blow to the Jazz to actually pick number 5 here, because they thought they were going to get Cooper Flagg.
Right. Yep. I mean, you think about the teams who came in at number 4, 5, and 6. Charlotte, Washington, or Charlotte, Utah, and Washington all were hopeful that they would land Cooper Flagg, and at the end of the day, it was the Dallas Mavericks. So the pick is in for the Utah Jazz. Adam Silver has not officially made it clear yet, but the indication is that it will be Ace Bailey going to the Utah Jazz. Now, the question remains, will Utah keep that? Shams Charania says it will be Ace Bailey, and there's our first curveball of the NBA draft. Here we go. Ace Bailey headed to the Utah Jazz. North of $4 was the price for him to be the fifth selection in tonight's NBA draft.
Tuned in to VSiN Primetime, betting the draft, right here on VSiN, the sports betting network.
The betting market was 4 for 4, and now they're 4 for 5. The fifth overall pick, the Utah Jazz, select Ace Bailey out of Rutgers. So a highly touted prospect. Questions didn't work out for a lot of teams. Did have a workout with the Washington Wizards reportedly today, Matt Eumanns. But at the end of the day, the pick prior to the Washington Wizards is indeed Ace Bailey. Jonathan Givony of ESPN is reporting that Utah will not trade Ace Bailey and they will keep the selection of Ace Bailey. Yes.
That's a little bit surprising because Ace Bailey is not connected to Utah in anything we heard about the draft in the last couple weeks. So I think Utah Jazz probably a little bit disappointed not to get Con Knipple, right? Who went number four to Charlotte. Do you think that was a player maybe Utah targeted?
Yeah, it's certainly possible. And now what does Washington do? Had been linked to Ace Bailey. Now they're on the clock. Final seconds ticking off. While we wait for that pick to come in, let's help analyze the picks so far and also get a little thoughts about further down the board. College hoops writer for CBS Sports, David Cobb, joins us right now, courtesy of our Progressive guest line. And, you know, David, Ace Bailey goes fifth overall. A little bit of surprising based off of just the reporting that was out there. What do you make of this selection by the Jazz ultimately to go with the Rutgers guard, Ace Bailey?
Yeah, it seems like a situation where they must have just had him as a, hey, if he's there, we're going to take him sort of talent, which is totally understandable. If you actually get past the clutter on Ace Bailey and everything that his camp has sort of generated over the last month, I mean, this dude has a ton of upside. I think you could argue he's got the second most upside in this draft behind Cooper Flagg. In fact, there was a while there going into this past college season where everybody just assumed Ace Bailey would be selected before Dylan Harper. The season came along and changed some of that, and Ace Bailey certainly didn't help himself these last few weeks. It seemed to me like he wanted to go to Washington, and maybe certainly almost Washington would have been delighted to have him at six, but there he is going to Utah. I agree with you guys. It doesn't necessarily seem like the most natural fit. Certainly wouldn't have been what I would have predicted going into tonight.
David Cobb, CBS Sports, joining us here. And we're getting reports now via social media that the Washington Wizards are going to select Trey Johnson out of Texas. I like this selection quite a bit, Matt.
Pick for
Washington. Yeah. You know, there was thoughts, there were fear that maybe it would be Jeremiah Fears, but in the end, it is Trey Johnson. And before we go back to David, your quick thoughts on the reports that it will be Trey Johnson going to Washington.
I'm glad I did not make that bet on Trey Johnson to be a top five pick at minus 110. I thought he was worthy of a top five pick, and he goes number six to the Wizards. And now you think Jeremiah Fears is probably going to drop maybe to number eight because we think the Pelicans will go for Derek Queen at number seven, right? Yeah. So I like it. Trey Johnson shot almost 40% for three from three for Texas last season. He's got an NBA built offensive game, and that's why I thought there was a chance he could go maybe number two, three, four, certainly five. So he goes number six to the Wizards. Tim, I haven't said this many times in my life, but I like the pick by the Wizards.
I do too. David, what do you make of these reports that, you know, we were talking briefly off air, what does Washington do? We haven't heard it directly from Adam Silver, but all reporting says it will be Trey Johnson. I think you like this move as well.
Yeah, I do. Isn't it interesting tonight that Shams is not breaking the picks before they come out, as we became accustomed to with Woj when he was at ESPN. So you're seeing the news break from a variety of sources tonight. But Trey Johnson's we had him at three on our big board at CBS Sports, actually ahead of Ace Bailey. So a tremendous value for Washington to get Trey Johnson at six. I mean, there's obviously just nothing that franchise doesn't need. So for Trey Johnson, I think it's a pretty decent landing spot too, because he's got a lot he still has to add to his bag. Like, he showed a little bit of catch and shoot at Texas as a freshman, but like, he's going to have to get a lot better in the catch and shoot game because he's going to play off the ball quite a bit in the NBA. And you got to be able to shoot it off the catch when that's the case. And so, you know, he's going to have time to develop and add to his game. He's got to get stronger to finish at the rim, but these are all things that can happen, and they'll get to happen for him in a place where nothing will be expected these next couple of years. You know, their competitive window, so to speak, probably won't really start until close to 2030. And by that time you'll have a guy who's entering his prime, who will have refined some of those issues.
David, I think it's interesting there that you said you had Trey Johnson number three on your big board, because I've talked about this the last couple of days. I ranked it Flag one, Trey Johnson two, Dylan Harper three. Obviously really close for me between Harper and Johnson, who should be two or three. But I like this pick for the Wizards at number six. Also, you said that it's interesting that Shams Charania of ESPN is not breaking the picks on social media before TV. Do you, you know, you work in the media here. Do you think there's an arrangement between the NBA and ESPN for Shams not to announce the picks? There's got to be. But that also opens the back door for him to be beat by competitors, which is happening out there tonight.
Yeah, no doubt. I would suspect there's something contractual here, because if you remember, even when Woj would get the scoop on the picks, he would always couch it or phrase it really funny. Like, I've been hearing that the Wizards are angling to select Trey Johnson. You know, he would never just out and out say who they were going to pick. And he was always sort of playing the political game like that. But, you know, with this being Shams' first draft at ESPN, they probably, yeah, this was probably something they talked to him about. And look, I bet he has the intel, but they want to prioritize the broadcast, right? Like, you know, they want the broadcast to be what everyone's watching and paying attention to. But you're totally right in that there are other well-connected NBA reporters out there, especially on the local level, who might be able to get the scoop on him here. So, yeah, that's just an interesting little inside baseball dynamic to this draft.
David Cobb from CBS Sports joining us courtesy of our Progressive Guest Line. Once again, the most recent pick is Trey Johnson, guard out of Texas, one of, if not the best shooter in this draft class. He and Con Knipple, you can duke it out who you think is a better shooter, but both are off the board. Trey Johnson, as Matt said, I echoed the sentiments, really like the pick here for the Washington Wizards. You know, David, as we wrap up with you here, a final couple of questions, as you look down the rest of this, you know, top 10 in the lottery, who are some of the prospects that intrigue you the most, that think could be kind of instant impact type of players?
Yeah. So obviously I think Kamon Malawak, he to me is a high floor player. I don't know how high his ceiling is, because I'm not sure how much he's going to be able to add to his offensive bag, but that's the guy who I think could go in and protect the paint and protect the rim right out of the chute. He might foul a lot. He might not be a guy who you have on the floor down the stretch in games, but he's somebody who I think that skill set of protecting the rim at his size, I think that's going to translate pretty quickly. Yeah, but if you're looking for instant impact, I mean, I think a guy who comes to mind is Cedric Coward. I don't know if he'll be top 10, but he's a 22-year-old player with a lot of length on the wing. He can shoot the three, so he's sort of that prototypical 3-and-D wing, and he's in that age range of guys who you sometimes see him contribute as rookies, whereas, you know, yeah, you look at most of the rest of this lottery, it's a lot of one-and-done guys, a lot of 19-year-old type of guys, and you know, sometimes you can get something from those players early, but if you're looking for those early contributions, it's in a very refined NBA-ready skill set like Malawach's rim protection, or with an older player there, maybe like a Cedric Coward.
I like what you're saying about Cedric Coward there. What do you think the OKC Thunder will do here, picks 15 and 24?
They don't even need these picks. It's ridiculous. I would trade them, to be honest. Although, yeah, I mean, what do you even for a trade back and get some 2032 picks or something? I don't know, but they'll do something smart. I mean, it's Sam Presti is the GM, not of the year, not of the decade, but of the 21st century at this point, with the roster he built and how quickly he got the Thunder to a championship level. So they'll make smart, savvy picks. And they do have to be forward thinking, right? Because, you know, 2-3 years down the line, the bills are going to really start piling up and come and do specifically with Chad and then some of the other young talents that they have. So, you know, I would go young, honestly, if I were OKC. I'd take some upside swings. Like, why not? You have the ability to take some risks because you've positioned your franchise so well from a personnel standpoint. So take some risks. Take a chance on an international guy with some upside, you know?
Quick question here. Who's the best shooter left? I've said the Thunder need a shooter. Is it Walter Clayton from Florida, who shot about 39% from three, or do you think there's a better shooter out there?
Yeah, Nick Clifford might be in that conversation. Colorado State guy, he's a vet. He could come in and play pretty early. I think he'll be 24 as a rookie, if I'm not mistaken, which used to be like a horrible thing, right? But now it's like, man, we could have this guy on a team-friendly deal until he's 28 years old. You know, that's pretty attractive to some franchises. So maybe him. And then I give you a wild card there. His college numbers didn't show it. But Liam McNeely at UConn really has the tools, the ability to shoot it well. He was just injury plagued throughout his freshman season at UConn. And was they asked a little too much of him, I thought, as well. But he's a guy with a ton of potential in the shooting realm.
Definitely agree with that.
David Cobb, appreciate the insight.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you, guys.
There he is, David Cobb, CBS Sports. Once again, updating you at the sixth overall pick, Matt. Trey Johnson from Texas goes to the Washington Wizards. And before we hit a break, reports out there state New Orleans will be selecting Oklahoma point guard Jeremiah Fears with the seventh overall pick. So Malawak, Derek Queen thought maybe could be headed to seven, but with Fears still on the board, reports state that the Pelicans will be going with the Oklahoma point guard.